Good morning and welcome to Everyday Parenting. This is your host, Lisa Hine, and I am so delighted that you are here. We have a great show today, which will basically just help us get through helping each other get through. I mean, that's bottom line. That's what this show is going to be. And especially when you're going through a divorce or you're feeling uncomfortable about where you are in your life after separation, whether it be, you know, through divorce or death. And Rosalyn Sadaka, she is just one of my dearest friends and she was on the show several months ago, and I just felt like I wanted to have her back on because her information was just so worth repeating. I'm very honored that she agreed. So since the last time we spoke together, I've spent a lot of time watching family interactions. Very confusing at times, but other times it's just so heartfelt. Whether we're in a park or in church or at the store, it's very interesting to see how we react to one another, or we don't. I've seen some questionable behavior, such as when I see parents pulling out of a school, you know, from picking up their children, and they're on their cell phones. Which to me, when I'm with somebody and they're on the cell phone and I am just as guilty, kind of tells me, okay, wait a second, you're not really that important right now, but I need to be on the phone with this other person while you're sitting in front of me. And sometimes that might be a little heartfelt on the children. So I really think even just that little behavioral thing that we're doing that doesn't quite make them get excited to get in the car because you're on the phone talking with your friends might just hurt their little spirits. And we just need to be really delicate at times with how we act as adults. I'm just as guilty of it. Trust me, I already said that. I got four fingers pointing back at me, so it doesn't, you know, it's not like I'm being judgmental. Then there's times when I speak at conferences and there's always concerns about the, quote, other parent's behavior after the divorce. I've heard it over and over. What can I do when my ex lets my son or daughter do anything they want? They have no boundaries. And when they are with them, they are shown that life is just a free-for-all. Then when my child returns back to me, they're spiteful or mean, and they may yell out, you know, I'd rather go live with my mom or dad because it's more fun over there. It's almost like it negates all the hard work the parent who has the child in the house has done. They try to keep the child feeling secure, set the boundaries, let them know that, you know, they are loved no matter what, and that life isn't just one big game and free for all, as I said. The list can go on and on, but the gist of the story is that we must remain on the same page when we decide to separate or we decide to stay together. But if we should have to separate and go their own way, you've got to be respectful towards your spouse, because if you're not, the children are going to be the ones that feel this. When those talks begin between you and your spouse, in my opinion, it's not just about you and that other person. It's about the true victims, the children. Children at times may tend to get left out of the scenario because couples are more concerned about themselves rather than this change that will affect the whole family dynamics. I've said it many times, when you decide to go your separate ways, do it amicably, with grace and style, and always stay on the same page as your ex-spouse. When we play games, like I talked about earlier, we do nothing but hurt everyone. When we shower our children with materialistic items, allow them to think there are no boundaries, let them do everything they want, stay up as late as they want, etc., etc., we're doing more harm than good. So be kind to one another and show the respect that is crucial when a divorce happens. The children's feelings are definitely the most important, and we should want to protect them from any more harm. A divorce can leave the children feeling guilty, ashamed, hurt, and really stressed out. So, like I said, make it amicably. I mean, act like adults and understand that it's not just about you. It's about everyone's pain. And spend as much time as you can letting the children know that, you know, they didn't cause this separation. It's very important to share that. So what I'd like to do now is I'd like to introduce Rosalyn Sadaka. She's recognized as the voice of child-centered divorce. She's the author of How Do I Tell the Kids About the Divorce? and has created the Child-Centered Divorce Network for Parents. She's an advisor at parentalwisdom.com. She serves on the board of directors of Child Sharing, Inc., and on the panel of experts for the National Association of Divorce for Women and Children. She's also a regular guest blogger for CBS News Eye on Parenting blog and the nationally syndicated Basil and Spice blog. In addition, Rosalind was the 2008 National First Place winner of the Victorious Woman Award. Today, she will share her personal insights on avoiding divorce mistakes to create positive and successful parenting after divorce. So please join me in welcoming the woman who has created a very unique approach to a difficult situation. Good morning, Rosalind. Welcome back.
Oh, thank you so much. It's always a pleasure to be talking with you.
Well, I feel the same way about you because you just have so much to bring to the table. And, you know, I cannot say enough wonderful things about you and what it is that you're doing and how much you care about other people that you want to devote your life. So I know there's some serious, dangerous post-divorce parenting mistakes that we make. And I know that you've written, you know, a book about that. You've written some other books as well that we'll get to in a minute. But what do you mean by dangerous mistakes?
Well, those are the repercussions of the decisions that you make when you're starting the divorce, when you're moving through the divorce, and after the divorce. Because these mistakes can affect your children not only in the immediate next few months or years, but actually for decades to come. These are mistakes that we have to become aware of. They're dangerous because of the longevity of the repercussions of them. And as adults, the children of divorce can be scarred, and they can become angry and resentful towards their parents. And we have to be adults and take a mature approach to the decisions that we make right from the beginning. And if we made bad decisions early on before the divorce or during the divorce, we can make changes and shifts in that so that we can ease the emotional situation for the children. Because if we don't, some adult children of divorce never forgive their parents, and they create a rift for the rest of their lives, and we certainly don't want that to happen in any families.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm in my 50s and I still hear my friends talk about how awful it was. And it's a shame because, I mean, you know, nobody wants to break up. Nobody wants to leave the person that they've devoted X number of years to and have had children and they have the house and the whole thing. But you know what, I kind of see that the anger has gotten even a little bit more intense now because there's so many other circumstances going on. And it's really kind of sad because you're absolutely right. You know, why would parents want to do that if they know that it's so hurtful to these children?
And that's such an important question, Lisa. And the reason, sadly, is that when you're filled with anger and you're filled with resentment and insecurity and all the aftermath of a divorce, you are very often led to making decisions that are not in your children's best interest. Very often they come from an ego place of getting back at your ex for hurting you. They've deceived you, they've hurt you, they've shamed you, they've embarrassed you, humiliated you, mistreated you, whatever it is. And also you want to keep your children's allegiance, and it's so easy to put down dad or mom and say things about them in order to get your children to be on your side.
Right.
So it's coming from a state of unawareness, of lack of consciousness about the consequences of what you can do, maybe an innocent little lie or a way of shading the situation so that it looks more favorable for you, or just the natural tendency to be resentful and angry. And what happens is that you open up a can of worms that you never would have suspected is going to happen.
And that's so true. I mean, seriously, because your anger, just like it's like toxic, and it just goes from one thing to the other. And when we play those games, it's almost like the person playing the game for a short while, excuse me, appears to be, you know, the hero, the good one that the kids want to go play with and they want to go hang out with. But eventually, they're not going to want to do that because that isn't what children need in their life. And, you know, you and I have discussed this many a times about children don't need friends. They need parents. They've got their own friends that are their own age. And when we dump our, I want to say stupidity, but and I'm sorry. I just kind of think it's really stupid that we think that we can act that way in front of our children and bring them into our garbage that we created the chaos. So let's just bring everybody into it, you know?
Yeah. Well, it definitely, in most cases, doesn't happen intentionally. It happens from a lack of insight, a lack of awareness of the consequences, and it comes from our own feelings of inadequacy and insecurity and anger and resentment. So it's easier to understand how and why this happens. It's harder to undo the mistakes. But the first step is to look at each one and realize the consequences and realize what's happening and why, when you make these mistakes, you're really setting your children up for problems in the long term, short term as well as the long term.
Yeah, exactly. And I like your approach. I you know, it's like you said, it's easy for us to do these things because so many of us have been so programmed to think that when somebody hurts us, we want to slash out and hurt somebody else, you know. But it is so much of the programming that we've had really, you know, I'm learning more and more about this, that, you know, we get a lot of stuff dumped on us while we're growing up. And then as we grow up, we think, well, we're going to think differently and we're going to do things differently. But that information is still inside of us. So it's so wonderful to have people like you who want to say, wait a second, you know, you don't have to act like that. We don't have to feel like that. We can be accountable for our actions. We can take our time, think it out, work together, make it amicable. You know, it can, divorce doesn't have to be ugly. It can be a win-win situation.
Exactly. There are definitely choices involved in all of our behaviors and actions. And that's what I try to emphasize in all of my work, to get both parents on the same page, to understand that you're going to be parents forever. The rest of your life, you're going to be parents of your children. And if you create what I call a child-centered divorce, then everyone wins. Mom, dad, and all the children. And isn't that what we all want in the long run?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Healthy abilities to go through something so traumatic, you know? I mean, that's what needs to be done. And I'm just so, so proud of you. And I really appreciate the fact that, you know, you bring this information to people all throughout the country as well as the world, with your, you know, your advice. And, you know, you experienced this. And I think that's amazing because you learned, right? Don't you feel like you learned from what happened? This is where it all came from?
Right. That's how it all started, based on my own experience. And then after the insights I was able to glean, I felt ready to share a lot of information. And I also had 6 therapists who contributed to my book, How Do I Tell the Kids About the Divorce? And so their insights as well is very valuable in starting parents on the right track, because it's so much easier if you both decide from the beginning that you're going to create a child-centered divorce, that you're going to put your children's emotional and psychological needs first in every decision you make, much easier that way than 6 months or 6 years later to turn around and say, wow, I really goofed up here and there, and I'm seeing the consequences in my children. Now what do I do and how do I change it? It's never too late, so I don't want anyone to feel that they can't. But if you're in a situation where you're just contemplating divorce, then there's so much wisdom you can take in beforehand that'll just make the entire process much smoother, especially if both mom and dad are understanding that, which we know isn't always the situation. But when you can be both on the same page, then the process is much quicker and easier.
Absolutely, absolutely. So basically, there's some amazing positive things that we can do, and then there's some serious mistakes that we make with children after the divorce. So let's talk about them. I mean, let's start with the worst mistakes, and then go in again, you know, and just reiterate what it is that the parents can do to not make this such an awful thing.
Sure. Well, professionals all agree on some of the most common mistakes that parents make. So let's discuss a number of the biggest ones. The first is asking your children to bear the weight of making decisions or choosing sides in a divorce. I know it's very tempting to want to ask the kids, would you rather be with mom or dad? And then the both of you are sort of competing for the kids' attention and affection, and also feeling slighted and guilty and embarrassed if the children choose one side or the other. Well, think of how awkward it is for your children if they're asked to choose between mom and dad. They know they're going to hurt someone's feelings, and it's an extremely stressful situation. It's much better for mom and dad, plus the team of experts they're working with. Hopefully, if you have a divorce coach or a therapist or counselor, guidance counselors, clergy, good mediators, I highly recommend, good collaborative divorce attorneys, people who are sensitive about these issues, they could help you. But if you ultimately say, we've decided that this and that is going to happen regarding mom and dad, you can listen to your kids when they make comments and complaints or things like that, but believe me, they are relieved that the burden wasn't put on them to make the decision, because that is even more painful for them. So it's an important thing to understand. We don't want to put extra stress and burden on our children's shoulders, because they're children. This is tough enough for mom and dad to handle, let alone handling it when you're young. The second mistake is using your children as spies. Another thing that's so tempting and so easy. Kids are spending time at dad's house, spending time at mom's house. They go on a special outing, whatever it is. After a while, one or both of you are dating other people. And it's tempting to start asking the kids about, what did you eat? Where did you go? What did dad say about this? What happened there? Again, the children are in an awkward situation. There are things they know that they know mom or dad will not be pleased to hear about. Then they're forced to lie or cover up. The pressure is enormous. It's much better for mom and dad to communicate, not around the children, by phone, by email, by internet communication tools that are available now. And that, in that way, you are not stressing your kids and asking them to be spies. Same thing with mistake number three, which is using your children as messengers. They should not be the ones to have to tell dad that mom said she wants me home at 3 o'clock, and don't forget to bring the blue towel
and
pack lunch and all of those little details. Parents have to take responsibility for that. Don't make your kids be messengers. Children are young, they don't always get the message accurately, and it's a burden for them. After a while, they feel that their only purpose is to be sharing information between mom and dad, be go-betweens. The most important thing to remember in divorce is that you don't want to take away your children's childhood. You're taking away a lot from them already. Their house, their home life is being broken up. There's a lot of emotional consequences. There's fears, insecurities, and anxieties. You don't want to rob them of their childhood. You want them to have playtime and friends and as much of the traditional old things that they were used to doing, as much of those that you can continue the same way, the easier the transition for the children. So adding any kind of burden to them and taking away their just the jubilance of being kids, and they have enough trauma just in the world of being kids. They don't need to add yours to it. So those are three important ones. Then there is another very significant mistake that parents make, and that's not reminding the children that none of this is in any way their fault.
Exactly.
You must remind them continuously that they are innocent. that whatever is now happening in our family life and whatever changes and shifts are going on, this is because of mom and dad, our bad decisions, our inability to get along. It has nothing to do with the fact that you are in our life.
Mm-hmm.
You are innocent, and we love you. You mm-hmm. have to remind them how much you love them and that the divorce is not in any way their responsibility, so that, again, you free them from carrying emotional burdens as they go through their day-to-day life. Another important mistake that gets repeated too often, and a very dangerous one, is confiding adult details and information to children in order to attract their allegiance or sympathy. Again, it's tempting. You can understand why we do it. But when you give them adult information when they're not prepared to handle it, you create guilt, you create confusion, and it's a tremendous burden for them to bear. You don't want to be telling your 9-year-old about adultery or gambling or alcoholism. Now, in some cases, they may know about things already, like alcoholism. But you don't want to be talking to your children, even your teenagers, about adult issues, because they don't handle it the same way as an adult. If you need to confide, confide in your friends, confide in a clergy person, get a therapist, get into a group. There are so many alternatives available to us with the internet and within our community. You don't want to be talking to your children about issues that they don't have the emotional intelligence to handle.
Right.
And when they learn about it too young, they don't know what to do with it, just like you don't know what to do with it all, and yet they are much younger, and it really complicates their lives. We do not want to turn our children into little adults before their time. And that's what happens. When you give them the weight of these complex issues, they start parenting you. It's only natural that they will. And when your children start parenting you because you're emotionally unable to handle the situation, then you are putting a tremendous psychological weight on them that should never happen.
Oh, boy, I so agree with everything you said, because it's not their responsibility. It shouldn't be their burden.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And there's two more that I just want to get in because they're so important.
Absolutely.
And that is not to ever put down or disrespect or alienate the other parent in front of the children, no matter how much you may hate their mom or dad. You do not want to be putting them down.
Right.
Because it hurts your children. Your children are part of both of you. And if you start talking about all the things that are wrong with dad, your child is naturally going to start feeling there must be something wrong with me too, because I love dad. And it's very confusing, and it's even confusing for teenagers. Just because they're older doesn't mean they have the sophistication to be handling these complex emotional issues. So it's the worst thing you can do, because it confuses them and it makes them feel guilty for loving the other parent. You don't want to be placing that on their shoulders. And the last one we'll discuss right now is lying to your children in order to justify the decisions you made, which is different from confiding in them. That's when you're just out and out lying so that you'll be able to get your way, and you make decisions that are in your best interest or to get back at your ex. And when your children grow up as adults, I promise you that they will get very resentful and angry when they find out that they were lied to, when they find out that information was neglected to tell them, that they didn't get the full story about things, not in the way where you're protecting them as children, but because you're trying to protect yourself and manipulate the situation. In the end, your children will turn on you when they find this out. So it's very important that you don't start telling lies. You don't want to create alienation with the other parent, as tempting as it may be, because of the fact that you dislike them so strongly. You have to respect the fact that this is their other parent who they have a relationship with or have the right to have a relationship with. And very often when you alienate that other parent from the children, even when you think it's justified, in the long run, your children will turn around and resent you. And I've seen many cases of adult children actually stopping the relationship with the parent who raised them when they find out about all these lies and manipulation and ending up turning and going to the other side entirely. So don't even start creating that.
It's something you'll spend the rest of your life backstroking because you can't, you just can't. I mean, I don't want to say you can't make it not be so bad.
But it's tough.
It's very tough. And the lasting mental effects on our children because of that, you know, I mean, we're seeing a lot of it. You're seeing, you know, the teenagers, you're seeing young children acting out because they're so frustrated and they don't understand, like you said, they don't have the maturity, the mental maturity to deal with this, because it's even hard. I mean, I was in high school when this was going down in my family, and I still carry that.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was all my fault, and nobody let me know that it wasn't.
Wow.
Yeah. You know, I mean, it just kind of happened. You know, when you catch your father with another woman, and you go home, and you're crying so hard, you know, you can't help but feel that it was your responsibility. You did that. If you had just kept your mouth closed. But it wasn't like I ran home to go tell my mother. I ran home and told my sister, and I was freaking out so bad. And then when my mother came around me, I started crying harder because I didn't want to hurt her. You know, I although it was happening, you know, but back in the 50s and 60s, they didn't want a divorce. They wanted to just keep going, and women were so taught you just stay with your husband no matter what. Just be okay. It's all right. Just do what he tells you to do, and let him do what he's got to do, but you've got children. It's like, wow. And that's what my mom did.
Yeah, my mother too. So I know what you're saying.
But I'm glad that there's people like you out there that can kind of walk us through it, because we don't have to do that. You know, you're not helping anyone, because my parents said to me, well, we gave 18 years together as a mother and a father to the other children. We wanted to do that to you too, for you too. And I'm like, oh, okay, and that was supposed to be a good thing or what?
Well, yeah.
You know, there's important questions that parents can ask themselves before they make any kind of a divorce decision. What do you think are some really important ones that they should think about before they go any further?
Well, I think the most important question you could ever ask yourself, and you could ask yourself this continuously, even in the months and years following a divorce, is, do you love your children more than you hate your ex?
Ooh, that's good.
Do you love your children more than you hate your ex? Because that's the bottom line. If you can get past what you feel about your ex and put, do I love my children more than that first, that will guide you into making the right decisions, all the child-centered decisions, all the decisions that we talk about and that coaches and therapists talk about, and the directions the mediators are trying to get you into, is all making those kinds of wise, conscious decisions. And that will help you know. Another important question that I always ask to clients is, ask yourself, what will my children say to me when they are grown about the way I handled the divorce?
Nice.
What will my children say to me when they're grown about the way I handled the divorce? Will they understand? Will they thank me for putting their best interests first? Or be angry about the decisions I made? Now, I know when you're sitting at home with a 3-year-old or a 12-year-old, it's very hard for you to imagine them ever being adults.
Right.
To put yourself there, it just seems so far away that it seems like a moot point. But believe me, they will grow up. It is inevitable. They are going to grow and grow and get more mature and more difficult to deal with emotionally, and they're going to ask more and more questions, and they are one day going to grow up, and then you're going to be dealing with attending their weddings and all that comes with it, and they're going to have questions for you, just like you have questions that you would like to ask your mother right now, because when the hurt and the pain and the scars are there, they don't go away. So if you could put yourself right in advance and say, how am I going to face my children when they're grown, makes a big difference. And then there's questions that mom and dad could talk about together as a couple, divorced or not, because you're both parents. questions like, how can we make life better for our children after the divorce than it was before? You know, sometimes divorce is a real blessing in life for children because they're living in a home filled with tensions, with people who are not getting along. Life is not happy. And once there's a divorce and there's two different homes, mom and dad may be happier people. They may start hanging out with other friends and enjoying things and be more relaxed and happy. And you want to be able to make sure your children are happier afterwards. So think about the things you could do for them to make their life easier after the divorce. And you could also ask, who can provide the least traumatic home environment for the children? And for what percentage of each day, week, month, or year? It isn't an automatic mom should get the children 100% of the time, nor is it an automatic we should split the children 50-50. If you really care about your children, look at your schedules, look at your lifestyle, look at what's happening in your lives. Who at different times of the day, week, month, and year can better take care of the children? And make a decision based on that. That's a child-centered decision. That's talking about putting the kids first, not whether you should have more time or less time than the other parents. And ask yourself, how can we best support our children and minimize their physical, emotional, and spiritual damage inflicted on them as a result of the divorce? What do you need to do? Do you need to spend more alone time with each child and give them attention, especially after the divorce, and remind them how important they are in your life, even though life is complex and your time is so limited? What other things can you do with them so that they really feel cared about and attended to? And how can you boost their self-esteem and their sense of security after the divorce? What specific things are they really needing? Pay attention. Watch your children. Look at them. Look in their eyes. And see if you could start dialogues, conversations with them in innocent times, driving home from school, in the car, running to the supermarket, and you're running errands together, and just ask questions so that you're picking innate times that aren't emotionally charged to just feel out how they're doing. Pay attention to what's happening at school and their clubs and their activities, and look for changes, signs and behavior changes, attitude changes. Are they acting out? Are they more depressed? Are they receding and vanishing and disappearing into the woodwork? Are they getting aggressive? Are their diets changing? Are their moods swinging? All of those things. You want to catch those things early on. You want to talk and you want to be there for your children so that they know they can talk to you, even if what they're bringing up isn't something you're wanting to hear, or even if you're bringing up things that they really don't want to be talking about. It's so important not to move into a place of superficial dialogue where you're really not connecting with one another anymore. That distance is what opens the door for the children to start finding other people to hang with who may not be in their best interest. And that's when drugs comes along, that's when promiscuity comes along, hanging with the wrong crowd, losing interest in school and future and education and all of those things that, of course, all parents dread.
Yeah, I mean, it's like a domino effect, you know. It's either you do it or somebody else is going to do it. And I've always felt that being in the car with your children is probably the best place to find out all the information because you each have undivided attention, you know. So take advantage of those great moments that you may be taking them to soccer practice or ballet or going to the market. You know, you've got that three to 10 minute span there that you really can find out a lot. And even if they do say things that are quite, you know, troubling to you, don't let them know it. You know, don't let them know that it's troubling, but yet, you know, because you don't want them to pull away from you either. You know, you want them to be honest and feel that ability to come and tell you anything. And then, you know, you can share your feelings, but don't freak out. Because a lot of parents just automatically start reacting when they hear things.
Mm-hmm.
But it's so true, honey. They just need to communicate. They need to feel safe. They need to know that it isn't their fault. They're, you know, they didn't create this monster. And I just, I just love listening to you because you bring such a positive insight to this kind of sad occasion. At this point, I wanted to change the subject because I know you've written another book too. But you know what? I want to keep going on this because I want to stay focused because you're so in tune with it. And then I want to definitely get to your other book because this sounds wonderful. And I think it kind of blends into, you know, getting women prepared to, you know, get back out there and see, you know, that, you know, because I think and maybe you can correct me if I'm wrong, so, you know, as a woman, you know, you, especially if you find out that your husband is leaving you because of another woman, if she's younger or whatever, it kind of does something to your head, you know. So I'm sure that's where this book came from. So I'm excited to hear about this. But when you're talking about the Child-Centered Divorce Network, how does this all fit in with what it is that you're saying?
Well, the Child-Centered Divorce Network is a resource online that moms and dads can go to get the best possible advice and insights on anything related to divorce and parenting issues. And it's at childcenteredivorce.com. So I have a free weekly newsletter that's filled with articles with great advice and insight about all facets of dealing with parenting before, during, and after divorce. And I have lots of guest experts that provide their input. So it just is definitely very worthwhile. There's lots of free articles on the website. And there's a host of resources. There's resources in terms of finding mediators and collaborative attorneys and therapists and other people. There's wonderful books that I have listed. There's divorce websites and associations and groups and all kinds of resources. And then I also offer a wonderful group coaching program that I do from time to time, but I have an audio coaching program of one of these sessions that involves 7 hours of fabulous information about moving right from before the divorce, through the divorce, and after the divorce with great parenting advice and tips, and that's available on the website as well. I'm in the process of transitioning over to a new website, which is going to be, I'm very excited about it. It's going to be much more user-friendly for everyone and sort of knee-deep in the midst of it. So another a couple of weeks, that'll be up. It'll be the same website, though, childcenteredivorce.com. So that is all available, and I, of course, am available to answer questions for people, and I do personal telephone coaching for anyone who wants to talk to me and see if I can help them get on the road to a easier transition through and after divorce.
Yeah, that's great. That's great. And I do, when we're coming to the end of the show, I want you to just repeat everything that you just said earlier. It's so important, in my opinion, to want to stay healthy and want to deal with some of this muck that's inside of us so that we can keep ourselves spiritually, mentally, emotionally, physically healthy to go through. I mean, even when you're married, you go through so much, but then to include separation, it's just such a hard thing for everyone to go through. And I've read so much of what Rosalind has written that I really advise everybody to get over to the website to check it out. But I know also that, you know, you've got the Divorce Network, you did that audio coaching program. That sounds really intriguing, and I know you kind of just briefly talked about it, but can you go into a little bit more detail as far as, I mean, that's a lot of information in 7 hours.
Yes, it is, and it comes with a workbook, and there's a guest interview with a wonderful collaborative divorce attorney who's written an excellent book, and I talked to him. His name is Michael Mastrassi, and he has wonderful advice in the interview I do with him. And the other 6 hours are talking to parents about the most important facets of divorce. learning how to communicate with your children, learning how to communicate with your soon-to-be ex, and then your former spouse. Signs to look for when your children are stressed out in much more detail than I went into here, so that you know that each age has different reactions. There's a difference between a toddler and a preschooler versus an elementary school child versus a middle school child versus a high school child, as you all know. And so when the divorce happens at different ages, you can expect different kinds of reactions, and there's signs to look for and tips and tools to use to help you in your communication with your children. We also talk about self-esteem and getting over the insecurities of being a bad parent and feeling overwhelmed by the entire process. And then ways to get the communication really smooth as you're transitioning between homes and visitations and various other dealings with custody, so you have ideas about the most effective way to create a smooth, child-centered divorce when challenges are up. And so each hour covers a different aspect of that and moves through, and then there's some homework. There's some questions that I ask you at the end of each session so that you can challenge yourself and put down on paper. Sometimes it's very helpful when you answer these questions, you start realizing ways that you may be bumping into some danger areas, or you may not have been as perceptive as you could be about certain things in communicating with your ex or your children. And so this gives you an opportunity to look at that and make a shift. And it's so much easier to make shifts in the process than waiting and looking back and say, oh, God, 5 years ago I did this and I shouldn't have. So the idea is to start people off in the right track, keep them on the right track, and obviously your children will thank you for it. And you know, you may have to wait until they're 22 before that happens, or 32, but your children will indeed thank you for taking the high road and making the decisions that are in their best interest as you're moving through the divorce, and in communicating with them and being coming from a place of integrity and high ethics in an area where it's so easy to be tempted to do otherwise.
Oh, it's so true. It's so true. And, you know, I think the responsibility of the parents after the divorce is very, very heavy. And they can't get lackadaisical. I mean, I think it's kind of like a 24-hour, 7-day-a-week situation where you really have to be on top of your game when it comes to this, because you're dealing with so many individuals who are being affected by this. And it's so wonderful that we have the opportunity to seek help. Because sometimes, do you kind of feel like sometimes we just get stuck and we feel that, well, that's the only way I know how to handle things?
Absolutely. That, and, you know, we're all in that. No one, we don't know it, we don't know. Every one of us. And so we can't make wiser decisions unless we stop and actually ask ourselves questions and then look outside of ourselves, because we're all caught up in our own little boxes.
Right.
And we're not aware that there may be other answers and other alternatives and better ways of doing things until we stop and start looking for them. So what happens is when you're caught in a box, and we've all been there, myself included, that's the time to really stop and ask and look, because any help that you can get that's going to take you out of an uncomfortable situation and benefit your children at the same time is really a gift.
Right.
And then you could look back and say, thank God I did that, rather than, oh, I so deeply regret having
right.
done that. That's
right.
The difference. This is about as much prevention as possible, but never forget that it's never too late for any parent who can own up and look their child in the eyes at any age and say, you know what, Mom or Dad made a mistake, I'm really sorry, I decided that, I told you that,
right.
we did this or that. Whatever it is, if you realize that you did something that really was hurtful for the child in their relationship with their other parent, or in the way they're coping with handling the divorce or separation, If you just apologize, children are very resilient. They are more than happy to open their arms and forgive you.
Yes.
And not only that, but you're also modeling the mature behavior that you want your children to see. If mom or dad can say I'm sorry, that means I can say I'm sorry sometimes too.
Awesome.
And it'll give them permission in life to admit I made a mistake and turn around and then correct the mistake, rather than being too proud and having to live on with something. So there's no shame in admitting you made a mistake in the past. We've all made them. And only a big person can say, gee, I'm sorry, I should not have done that. I regret that. Please forgive me. From now on, we're going to do it differently. And then just start a new plan, a new rule, a new direction that you're going to take. And the children will be very pleased to learn those lessons from you, see you being responsible, mature adult, and at the same time know that it's okay to make mistakes and be fallible, and that you can still be loved and accepted.
I love it. I mean, I'm smiling from ear to ear, because you know what? So many adults, they don't feel like they have to say, I'm sorry, I made a mistake, because, you know, we're the ones that, you know, we have all the answers, but yet we don't, but we act like we do. And when you see that happening, where people actually go, you know what, please forgive me for the things that I said or the way I reacted, that wasn't the way I should have reacted, and to be able to, like, confess, you know, it's such a it's such a cleansing for not only the children but for you, and like you said, the domino effect of you just apologizing is off the chart, and it's such a positive thing for them.
I totally agree. Well put.
We have a little bit of time, and I know, Missy, that you wrote another book, and I'd really like to kind of talk about that, because I think, you know, when you get back out there again and you start dating, you know, there's some interesting things that we have to be refreshed about, and I love to hear about it. What's the name of the new book?
New book is called 99 Things Women Wish They Knew Before Dating After 40, 50, and yes, 60.
Nice.
So this is, this is a book for mature women.
Mm-hmm.
Women who may have divorced a year or two ago or a decade or two ago, who have been either out of the dating world or have been dating and not successfully, or who experienced a death of a spouse, and are not quite sure how to get back out into that world, because it's different. When you're mature, you have your head on your shoulders, and in many ways you are smarter in what you're looking for, you're much wiser, and there's a lot of wonderful things you bring with you. But at the same time, women get very insecure about dating. They start looking at themselves very critically. I'm too heavy. My skin doesn't look good. I'm looking old. Who's going to want me? And they lay themselves with all of those emotional burdens. And it's very important that you, if you're going to go out and you're looking for a meaningful, lasting relationship, which is the focus of this book, then you want to be doing it coming from a place of high self-esteem, a place of empowerment where you feel good about yourself. Because if you don't feel good about yourself, why would you attract someone who really is worthy of someone better than you? So you're only going to attract people who don't feel good about themselves in return. But when you work on your self-esteem, and when you know that you have value, you will attract in your life some other people who have value as well. And that's the foundation for creating a lasting, meaningful relationship. So we talk about everything from looking good and dressing for a date and all of that, and where to find someone, and how to behave on the first date and the second date, and then moving into more serious aspects of how to handle sex at this time in your life, and when to start handling sex, and how to talk about important issues in your life, your children and your career and the future and health and all of those issues that are important. And there's just a broad array of decisions that have to be made. And all of those are handled in 99 very tight points so that you could read the book very quickly and easily and glean a wealth of information. And I co-authored it with my sister, Amy Sherman, who's a mental health counselor. So we worked on this book together, and we're very proud of it.
Oh, that's so sweet. I mean, that's pretty cool. I would love to do something with my sister. Oh, that's so neat. But you know what? Totally relevant. Totally relevant. Because for some reason, after we get to be, I mean, in your 40s, you're still pretty spunky and stuff. But as you get into your 50s, I mean, I know, you know, some people that are still spunky in their 50s and 60s, and God bless them. And then there's some of us that kind of like, you know, are slowing down and things of that sort. So how wonderful to have something that says, wait a second, it isn't about age. It's about who we are. And yes, we have some wrinkles. And yes, we have a little flab here and there. But you know what? That isn't what makes us. Because in my opinion, that's what's gotten a lot of us in trouble, is that we think it's all the presentation. And sometimes we found the presentation and the package inside was like, do you have any emotions? I mean, do you like get deep or anything? You know, it's all kind of like surface. So when somebody allows your beauty from within to outshine what's going on in the outside, you know that's a really awesome person.
Yes.
And we just have to have that self-esteem to say, look, you know, yeah, I got some wrinkles and no, I'm not a size 2. But you know what? I earned every one of my wrinkles and every one of those pounds, you know. And,
exactly.
You know, I mean, there again, Rosalind, we all have choices, you know. If we want to stay healthy and watch what we eat and get the exercising and some fresh air to keep us youthful in spirit, you know, in spirit and in mind and soul, it's your responsibility. And you know what? People love energy. It's a matter of energy, and just having self-esteem. We lose it through the years because we keep looking at all these young ones coming up behind us. But you know what? I was in last month. I visited my family. No, actually, yeah, last month I visited my family in Denver, and I walked into this store, this Forever 21. I was like a kid in a candy store. And so this darling little girl, I said, I want to get some really cute clothes, because even though, you know, I'm older, I still like to dress kind of fun, you know?
Of course.
And she says, oh, I'll help you. And I said, now, do you feel like you're helping dress your grandmother? Because, I mean, she's like 20-something years old.
Mm-hmm.
She says, no. She said, this is so cool. She goes, it's so cool that you want to stay fresh and modern. And I thought, yeah, that's what I'm doing. I'm trying to stay fresh and modern. And it was so cute because she picked out some of the most awesome outfits that I probably would have never put together. And you know, it's not like I'm trying to stay young. It's just that that's the way I like to dress. And I'm sure...
Because you feel young.
Yes,
and,
I do.
And it should be reflected on the outside.
Exactly.
So I think it's wonderful.
Exactly. Now, is the book out, honey? Is the book out?
The book is out. Just came out digitally right
nice.
Now. So it's
nice.
Available anywhere you can download a digital book. It's on Amazon. It's on it's an iPad app. It's on the Sony Reader. And anywhere you could go digitally, you could find it. But it will be out in printed form. It's just going to be another month or two. But there's information at 99-series.com. 99-series.com. And the book is called 99 Things Women Wish They Knew Before Dating After 40, 50, and yes, 60.
I love it. I love it. I cannot even believe that we are almost coming to the end of our program. And I know that there's much more that you want to say. I also know that you have a free ebook for our listeners. Can you tell them more about that?
Absolutely. The free ebook is post-divorce. My mind is slipping from dating back into divorce.
Sorry.
Again, it's success strategies for Doing It Right, Post-Divorce Parenting, that's the name of it, Post-Divorce Parenting, Success Strategies for Getting It Right. And if you send me an email at divorcepro@gmail.com, I'll be happy to send you that free ebook on wonderful success strategies that you can use during and after divorce. And it's a wealth of really valuable information that'll get you on the right track. Also, if you're interested in the coaching course, the parenting coaching course, I have the 7-hour program. And if you send an email to me at divorcepro@gmail.com, I'll send you information about that. And it's a wonderful program that comes with the book, handbook, and all the questions and ideas that you need to be looking at on an ongoing basis in your parenting. And there's a couple of bonuses that come with it. So that's something I could send you the information about, and it will be up on my new website as soon as that is back up again. And okay. The website to go to,
right,
to find everything about child-centered divorce is childcenteddivorce.com. And then if you haven't divorced yet and you're talking about the divorce process or know someone who is getting a divorce, then I absolutely recommend checking out my book, How Do I Tell the Kids About the Divorce? I'll Create a Storybook Guide to Preparing Your Children with Love. And all the information about that book is at howdoitellthekids.com. howdoitellthekids.com. And that's a very special book because it helps parents get on the same page in talking about divorce. It tells them the 6 key questions that every child needs to hear when you're getting a divorce. And it helps parents create a storybook that they can prepare in advance along with their own family photos and download it, put it into a photo album or a scrapbook, and then present to the children at the time of that tough divorce conversation. And it gets you started on the right footing so that your children are going to have the best possible opportunity to move through the divorce in a more positive vein and feel that life is not coming to an end around them. You want your children to know that mom and dad are making the best decisions on their behalf, that we love you so much, and that things are going to be okay. And then, of course, mom and dad have to step up to the plate and make sure things are okay. And that means making wise, mature decisions and being as conscious as they possibly can so that every time they make a decision, it's based on that question of, do I love my children more than I hate my ex? And that'll keep you on track.
Beautiful. Well, I am so grateful, and thank you for this wealth of information. And I know that they can find amazing information. And also, I mean, I understand you do breakfasts, and you have several different meetings.
Yes, I have I'm a co-partner at WomenHelpingWomenMastermind.com, which is a free online membership site for women. And we have women around the country and around the world can join for free at WomenHelpingWomenMastermind.com. And those women who happen to be in South Florida, in the Dade, Broward, and Palm Beach County area, we have a bunch of breakfasts and luncheons and special events and all kinds of activities that we promote through our newsletter that you can learn about. But everyone, no matter where you live, can go to WomenHelpingWomenMastermind.com, get the free membership and a ton of valuable information on having a successful business and career and balancing family work that we all need to do.
Right. Well, honey, thank you so much. It's been a pleasure. You know, life is for living, so I know you have given us some amazing information to think about, and I thank you. Can you just stand by for just a second?
Certainly will, and thank you. It's always a pleasure talking with you.
Thanks, honey. Thanks. I appreciate it. Would really love to hear from you, the listeners. If you have any comments about today's topic or you have a story you'd like to share, please feel free to email me at lhein, H-E-I-N, at tampabay.rr.com. Also, please feel free to visit my website at lisarhein.com. I too have written a book called I'm Doing the Best I Can, They Won't Always Be Cute and Adorable, and getting some good feedback about it, that it's basically kind of like Rosalind's, down to earth, just straightforward and really really positive information. So I'd like for you to check it all out, and please tune in next week when we will be speaking with Dr. Monica Gorecochea, and I know I just said it wrong, so please forgive me, who will be sharing her expertise on living your life with absolute clarity, passion, and vitality. So until next time, have an amazing week filled with peace, love, and understanding.